I need your prayers this morning. I stand before you today with a great respect for everyone here and a very deep respect for those things that I feel have been committed to me and to my trust. I stand before you with a very deep respect for the Word. And I have a deep appreciation for those who have lived their lives and endeavored in all that they know and understand to follow the Word of the Lord and the teachings that they have had down through the years. I've had the privilege to have some very, very dear people in my life. And they were giants to me. The way that they lived their lives, they conducted themselves, made a difference in my life. And I feel this morning that probably each one of you could say the very same thing, that there's been someone in your life that followed the Lord. And the way that they conducted themselves and lived their lives made a difference in your life. Yes. So, as Paul gave instruction about the things that had been committed to, I believe it was Timothy, those things that have been committed to your hands, to your trust, you commit those things to faithful men too. Yes. So may the Lord help us today, those things that others before us have committed to our trust, to our care, that we be true and faithful to them. Yes. And that we also commit those things to faithful men so that they might be able to pass those things down to those behind them, behind us. Now, this morning, the burden I have on my heart is one the Lord gave me some time ago. Back home, the congregation there, and it is entitled Perfection and Sanctification. Now, I want to share with you this morning my personal experience with it. So that's going to be the title of the message, Perfection/Sanctification. Early on in my experience trying to serve the Lord, those were two words that struck fear in my heart. Now, I'm going to be honest with you today. I had heard the teaching and the preaching about perfection and sanctification, but those two words struck fear to me. The reason they struck fear to me, one, is because I felt it was a very bold step to go from the justification phase to the sanctification phase. Because it was a place where I had heard the teaching and the preaching, and I wasn't backing up on it, but it was a very serious thing to me. Because it's a place where I was told that I consecrate myself completely before the Lord. So in my humanity, I felt afraid. Now, there was no reason to be afraid because I have learned that there is a God that is a loving God. Yes. And I have no reason to fear Him. But at that point in my life, I didn't understand it all. And I wanted to make that next step, but I didn't know for sure what to do or how to do it. Now, the other word, perfection, is the one that really struck fear in my heart. And I'll tell you why. Because I had understood perfection to mean that something in my understanding of it, perfection was something that couldn't be improved upon. I don't think you would disagree with me if that's one of the definitions. Well, you'd have an understanding of what perfection is. If something is perfect, how do you improve it? How do you make it better? So when I would hear the scripture and let us go on unto perfection, I would tremble inside. Because I would see my own humanity. And I would see the things that I was dealing with as a young man, young married man, trying to understand how to live my life in accordance to the Word of God perfectly. And I remember, as I was trying to sort all these things out in my mind one time, I'm confessing to you here, in high school, I got into a scrape. I was saved. I got into a scrape. Another fellow and I just got into fisticuffs. That's just what happened. I got called to the principal's office, and he said, "Son, what happened?" I told him what happened. Well, he sent me home. I got a day of suspension. I didn't want to get that. I didn't want to go home with that hanging over my neck. So when I got home, I told my parents what had happened. My dad said, "Okay, well, here's what we're going to do. Go hook up the tractor and the disc and fuel it up and go ride the field all day." So that's what I did. You know, that gives you a lot of time to think. It just hours and hours. He said, "I'll be by later." He brought me some more fuel and some water and a sandwich. But that's a lot of time to think. And that evening when I got back home, the phone rang. It was my pastor. Do you know that's the last person I really wanted to talk to that day? I felt so bad. I was already in trouble. I spent all day riding on that tractor, thinking of all these things, and the last thing I wanted that evening was to talk to my pastor. But I want to tell you what she told me. She encouraged me. She encouraged me. She said, "I understand you got into a little issue at school." "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you." She said, "And it's going to be all right." And I want to tell you, folks, I beat many a path to that altar of prayer. There'd be times I'd come into that chapel and before service was even started, I'd go kneel down at the altar of prayer. And she'd come down there and she'd kneel beside me and she'd pray with me. And there were some times that I would go down and kneel at that altar prayer, and I didn't really even know why I was there, but I knew I had trouble in my heart. There was something that was gnawing at me, and I was wanting it to be better. And I was struggling with the issues in my own life, dealing with my own humanity, and trying to figure out how to get this thing better, how to get it all resolved. Lord, how do I go on to perfection? So those were two words that used to really strike fear in my heart. Scripture in 2 Corinthians 13 and 9. "For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection." Even your perfection. Well, Lord, help us today as we look into these scriptures to be encouraged about our perfection, about our sanctification. There's no reason for any one of us to shudder about sanctification. No reason at all for it. Now, yesterday afternoon, we talked about the times that we just get down before the Lord and say our words, pray our prayers, and seem like there would be no answer to come. And having a belief and a trust and a faith in God, even when I can't see the fruits of it. Being able to hold on and hold on to Him even through those times when He seems to be so silent. Part of that, gaining that ground, is going on to perfection. Now this word, this Greek word, perfection, in the 2 Corinthians verse we just read, katartasis, is your thorough equipment. And I'll tell you, when I read that scripture and I insert that word, perfection, and add thorough equipment, that helps me. That helps me a lot. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your thorough equipment. I can get a hold of that. I can get a hold of that, and I can understand a little bit more what that means about my perfection, my completion, my thorough equipment, so that when something comes in life, whatever it might be, I have been equipped to address that issue. If I find that something comes my way that I'm not equipped for it, I have found a place I can go to get equipped. I found that there's a place where I can go and say, Lord, I didn't know this was coming, but here I am again. So I'm knocking at your door. And I say, this thing came along, and I read this scripture, says, this is what you wish, my thorough equipment, and I need some more equipment. I used to turn wrenches for a living many years ago. And that fellow would come by, the Mack tool truck, the Snap-on tool guy would come by, and there's just about every week there'd be something I'd find that I was lacking in my box. Some little project would come up, and I'd say, if I only had this, it sure would make this job easier. So he'd come by the shop, pull up, and say, Mike, is there anything you need today? Martin, I'll tell you what I had last week. I had this job right here, and boy, I sure needed something to make that job. See, we worked on commission. Time was money. If you spent 5 hours on a 2-hour job, you lost 3 hours of pay. So time was money. So if you had the right tool to make that job go smoother, it sure was nice. He said, well, Mike, I think I've got just what you need. What is this look like what you're looking for? Martin, that's the thing. Pay the price, sometimes expensive, put it in my box. Next time, I'm equipped. Next time, I've got what I need. This day, I didn't have it because I didn't know I needed it. But tomorrow, the next opportunity I have, I'll be ready. I'll be equipped for that. So in my spiritual life, by the grace of God, the next time, if this thing comes around again, by the grace of God, I'll be equipped next time. I'll be ready next time. So this is what we wish. We want you to have thorough equipment. Young people today, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know that there is a God in heaven that loves you and cares about you, and He doesn't expect you to know and understand everything. It's not going to fall in one big lump. You're not going to understand everything about life. You're not going to understand all the issues and how to deal with all the questions in life. When I stood before Brother Bob Forbes, my wife and I, stood before him and took our vows to one another, there was no way for me to see and know and understand everything that was going to come in life. We made the traditional vows. But oh, there's been so many things happen in those 29 years. So many things. Could we see all of that from that day looking forward? Absolutely not. How many of us in this audience today, well, from the time that you first gave your consecration to the Lord or your consecration to your spouse, did you know all the things that you were going to deal with in life? Did you know the difficulties? Some of you have lost children. Did you know that was coming? Absolutely not. You didn't know that that was going to be, but you stood there toward one another and you made your vows for better or worse and for richer or for poorer. And when we come before the Lord and we prostrate ourselves before Him and we're seeking for that sanctification in my life, I want to be set apart, Lord. I want to be used of You. I want to be available. I don't know what You have for me in this life. Well, that's another thing that sometimes we draw back from, because ultimately, in my mind, that's one of the things that at first came to me. You know, if you get sanctified, the Lord's going to call you to preach. I had no idea He'd call me to preach. But He did. Yes. I admit to you, that was a fear. I didn't know it would happen. But it did. And do you know, folks, in my life, in my ministry, I find myself often going before the Lord and saying, I need some more equipment. Dealing with issues in life. Dealing with a soul. Dealing with a set of circumstances surrounding a soul. And you don't know how to break through. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. And you go before the Lord. Here I am one more time, Lord. And I need some more equipment. I need to be thoroughly equipped for this thing that's ahead of me. And I don't even know how to get there. But Lord, I'm waiting before you. Two other meanings of this word, perfection. It's complete. Complete in the applications of labor, growth, mental, moral character, completeness of full age, a man, mature. Mature. Concerning Job, the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? He's a man that's perfect and upright. He stays away from evil. He was talking with Satan. God allowed Satan to come along and touch his life, touch the things around him. He couldn't take his life, touched his body. Job didn't know all those things were coming to him. But he prayed to God for thorough equipment. Now, the sanctification process wasn't complete in the Old Testament. I understand that. The Spirit of the Lord moved and came upon individuals in the Old Testament system. And there was times when the evidence of it was there. But thank God, folks, today, every one of us, every one of us can have the Holy Ghost moving in our hearts and lives. This morning, Brother Leslie spoke to us in the adult Sunday school class, a beautiful lesson about the light of God. And I have always been just awestruck at the scriptures in the creation, that the Spirit of God, there was darkness on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And I've tried to understand and look into that and study about it, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the animating force of God moved upon. God spoke. And the Spirit, He breathed, and everything changed. Folks, when the Lord comes to us and He talks to us, He knocks at our heart's door, there are going to be times when you don't even know everything that He's asking. There are going to be times when we don't understand all that it is that He is calling for. But we know that there's something that He's tugging on our heartstrings because He wants that deeper relationship. He knows that there are things that's going to come our way and we're going to need to be settled and established in Him even more so than we are this day. And He wants us to come before Him and lay it all out before the Lord. Book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Beginning with the 43rd. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect. And this is another one of those scriptures. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That used to be a depressing scripture to me. Can you understand why? Yes. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And I'll tell you, I wanted to just wilt. Just wilt. Lord, how do I get there? How do I attain that place? Lord, how in this world, in this flesh, am I ever going to find that place where I am as perfect as you are? Because this is what it says. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. How do I get there? So my confession to you is I was depressed about it. Folks, our Heavenly Father is complete. Yes, He is. Complete in everything. And He wants us to be complete. He wants us to strive in every way that we can to be complete in Him, so that when issues arise in life, even if we find ourselves short, we're not afraid to come to Him and seek to the one that is the giver of all things, the giver of life, the sustainer of life, the one that is able to give to me all the things that I need in life. I come to Him, the Father of lights, the Father of perfection, to come to Him and say, Lord, here's a little more dross. Skim it off the top, please. Take it off the top for me, Lord. I know that it's there, and you see it's there. I didn't even know it was there. But here it is. Take it, Lord. Oh, folks, child of God, young folks today, if you are struggling with some of those very same issues in your life, I just can't get there. I don't know how to get there. I want you to know there is a path to get there. As we come before the Lord, we consecrate ourselves before Him. We lay our lives out before the Lord. And Lord, here I am. Take it. Take me. And we say, mold me. Use me. And as the Lord begins to mold us and use us, He uses those things in our lives to cause us to see a little shortcoming along the way. And He allows me to see those things and put me in a place where I put my sanctification to the test. Lord, here I am again. Knocking at your door. So we move on to maybe another little phase here. Hebrews 5th chapter. Seventh verse. This is speaking about Jesus, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect. Now I've scratched my head at that one. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him, called of God, and high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Who is He talking about here? Jesus Christ, our Savior. Being made perfect? The Son of God? Being made perfect? You mean He wasn't perfect? All right, stay with me. I said to you, I've scratched my head over this. So, Lord, being made perfect? Are you saying to us that He wasn't complete? Are you saying to us that there was something here that had to be added to make it complete? Lord, help us this morning that He would give us the understanding, the keys, to help us to see that there is something so deep that the Lord wants us to attain to in life. The complete trust in Him. When I read about the crucifixion of Jesus, when I read his prayer that he prayed in that garden, "Father, if it's possible, if there's any other way, will you please let this cup pass from me?" And his agony and his pain, and the scripture says that the sweat was as great drops of blood. And I'd look at that and I've read over that. And I haven't seen all the depths of that, but I've glossed over and I said, I know he suffered there and I know he struggled there, but there was more to it than just him praying and struggling with that. There was a completion that had to be done. There was a perfection that had to be brought about because, folks, Jesus Christ is our salvation. He is the perfect atonement. He is the only blood sacrifice that is able to atone for the sins of the world. The only. And there were things that he had to do in taking on this flesh, submitting himself. He said over and over again, "I don't speak my own words, but the things that I speak what the Father has given me. I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." He never put himself above. He did say, "I am the bread of life. I am these things." But he always pointed people to the Heavenly Father. He acknowledged his Father. When he prayed before the people, he would call on his Father, praying, "Oh, my Father." He acknowledged him and told and acknowledged him before the masses so they would know that he wasn't drawing people to himself. He knew who he was. Knew very clearly who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. So being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Now go with me to Hebrews 2. Two and nine. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect. I want to go back and read. I left out those last couple of words on purpose. I'll catch those in a minute. Let's look at this scripture a little bit. For it became him, God, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, that's you and me, to make the captain of their salvation, Jesus, perfect, complete, through sufferings. Through sufferings. Now it's starting to come together in my mind. Oh Lord, Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. I understand that. He did many miracles. He exhibited the heart of God, the will of God, the purpose of God to us. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Have I been so long time with you and you haven't seen the Father? Whoever's seen me has seen the Father." Taking on himself flesh, being willing to humble himself to the cross, to the whims and the fancies of mankind, crucify him, away with such a man. We will not have this man to reign over us. Who would you have me to release to you? Would you have me to release this Barabbas or this Jesus? Release Barabbas. Away with him, crucify him. Endured all of those things, all the rejection, all the hurt, the humiliation, the pain, being stripped, having placed on the cross the King of the Jews, All those things put before Him, hanging there on that cross, reaching that point where He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Here we go with the silence of God again. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And we read that He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And He went to the tomb. They took His body down, anointed His body for burial, wrapped Him in burial clothes, carried His body to the tomb, rolled the stone, sealed the tomb. He lay a dead body in the grave. Submitted Himself to the suffering of death, being made complete. Folks, it couldn't be complete. There was no way for the plan of salvation to be complete for us, complete, without Jesus tasting death. And it didn't stop there. He came out of that tomb. He came out of that tomb. He walked for a space of time. Even after that, on the road with the disciples, talking about things, and haven't you heard these things? What things? We had hoped. We had hoped. I expect that pierced His heart a little bit too. But He reaffirmed Himself to His disciples. Oh, folks, He's going to reaffirm Himself to us too. In the relationship that we seek with the Lord, that deep, personal, close walk with Him, that sanctified life, that life of perfection, I want to tell you what this life of perfection is going to be to you. You're going to come before the Lord and consecrate yourself to Him, but you don't know what you're consecrating to. And that's the truth of the matter. We don't begin to know everything that we're consecrating ourselves to. I told this little story back home. I've got three beautiful children. My oldest daughter has two grandchildren. I have two grandsons, and they're wonderful boys. When I was in that hospital room with her, when she was having that first one, I wanted to be right there by that bedside as much as I could. And I was, until they made me move. She had some trouble. She had some trouble. So I was crouched down in a little old cubby hole. It wasn't a whole lot bigger than this rostrum, a little bit. I was crouched down behind some curtains. I was praying for my daughter. And I was praying for my grandchild that wasn't born yet. One of the nurses said, I overheard, she said, the fellow over there that's crouched down behind that curtain, is that her daddy? Yes, it was her daddy. He was praying for his baby. I didn't know I was going to have to consecrate that. I didn't know that was coming. I didn't know that there was going to come a day when my baby was going to be having a baby and having trouble having her baby. And I had to say, Lord, You can have this too. You can have this too. But I didn't know that. What the Lord is trying to do with every one of us, folks, is perfect us through the sufferings that we go through in life. If we turn and run from the sufferings that the Lord allows to come our way, we talked yesterday about the cherubim over the mercy seat. He said, I'll commune with You from above the mercy seat. There's not a thing that comes in our lives. If you're serving the Lord and you're trusting Him, there's not a thing that comes our way except God has allowed it. And if you are perfected before Him, complete before Him, He is working on every one of us, folks. Consecrate this too. I want to make you perfect. Perfect, complete, thoroughly equipped through sufferings. If my Lord and Savior had to be perfected through suffering, if He had to be perfected through the suffering of death on that cross and being placed like every other man in a tomb, a dead man, oh, they wagged the head as they looked at Him. We had hoped this was a man. We thought this was His own disciples walked away from Him. Peter, I'll never forsake You, Lord. No, I'll never forsake You. I won't do it, Lord. Jesus said, Peter, it's going to happen. I think that Peter had to go back and say, Lord, this hurts too bad. But I come to You here, I know. And I'm sure that after it was done, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, there are many things that were opened to Peter's eyes. don't be afraid of a sanctified life. Don't shirk back from the terms sanctification and perfection. I want you to know that God wants you to be thoroughly equipped for everything that can come your way in life. And the only way that we're going to be thoroughly equipped for it is by prostrating ourselves before Him and suffering and say, Lord, You can have this too. I didn't know it was coming. I didn't know I was going to lose my companion. I didn't know I was going to lose one of my children. I didn't know that I had to consecrate that to You, Lord, but here I am. Make me thoroughly equipped for the next battle in life. Whatever comes, Lord, make me equipped for that battle. And your pathway, have you found some cruel thorns? Jesus did too, and He knows. Oh, folks, be encouraged today. Jesus said in Luke, God bless us today. Luke 13, verse 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto Him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. He said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils and do cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I'll be perfected. Today and tomorrow, and on the third day I'll be perfected. He knew it, folks. He knew that that third day He would be called forth from that tomb and it would be perfected. Everything that He submitted Himself to, the sufferings of death, the sufferings of humanity. I walk today and I walk tomorrow, and on that third day I'll be complete. It'll be done. It'll be finished. My thorough equipment is there and I will be the salvation of the world. Once I come forth from that tomb, if I lay there in that tomb and never come forth, it'll never be complete. But on that third day, it'll be perfected. I walk today, I walk tomorrow, and the third day, I'll be perfected. For it became Him, God, in whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, you and me, being brought to glory, to make the captain of their salvation, Jesus, perfect, complete, thoroughly equipped through suffering. Through suffering. So don't be afraid of suffering today, folks. You got some things you're dealing with in life? God knows. Did you seek Him for sanctification some point in your life? He knows. Have you had to go back to Him time and time again and say, Lord, I didn't know this was going to happen, but I'm here again. He knows. I want you to know, He knows. He loves you. He cares about you. He is perfecting you. And our ultimate perfection is going to come when it, like it was with Jesus, on that third day when we're resurrected. That will be our ultimate perfection. If you've gone through some horrific things in life and you didn't know if you'd find a way out on the other side, folks, I want you to know that God's there. He is there. And He is using everything, every tool He's got in His chest, everything in His arsenal, to let that heat be turned up a little bit, because He's trying to get the dross to come to the top. And He doesn't do it because He just wants to see us squirm. He's only trying to perfect us. Oh, I tell you, when that light started coming on in my mind, I said, oh, thank you, God. I can live it. I can do this. I can find this place of relationship with You when I say, Lord, You mean this too? Yes, son, that too. All right. Okay, here I am. I can do that. But you see, when I first prostrated before the Lord and said, Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit, I didn't know all these other things were coming. Nor did you. And when I stand before a young couple and they take their vows of marriage, I try to spend a little time ahead with them and say, look, I want you to understand something. There are some things that are going to come, and you can't begin to understand it all now. But be patient. Stay in there. God in His love and mercy will bring us out into a wealthy place. I trust this morning that your heart is encouraged. Yes. To serve Him. Yes. And to walk closely with Him. Because He is trying to get us everyone inside of His heaven. I appreciate your time this morning. Please pray for me.